Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales. Natalie has been in the top 1% in the country for over 25 years and number one in Hawaii for 2 years prior to stepping back to building Realty Universal. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, Randy. How are you?
Doing well. It's kind of raining here in Northern California.
Did it warm up, though, this summer, or is it still really cold?
No, it's been pretty chilly.
Oh, yes.
I know it's still cold there, right? It's still cold over in the
freezing.
East Coast.
It's way too cold. It's freezing, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm pumped. We've got a lot going on today.
Good.
You know, on our program, and coming up in the second half hour, Sue Bridgman, who is a teacher and has a real passion for helping teachers in their personal growth. Her contention is teachers give and give and give, and then many of them get burned out and leave the teaching profession. And she's saying, you know, they need to take time for themselves and take care of themselves, which is a good word for all of us. So,
wow,
Sue Bridgman
that's great.
Will join us, yeah, in the second half. And I know this first half, I've been looking forward to it because I know that a lot of people are behind in their mortgage payments.
Yeah,
there's a lot to be thinking about, huh? I know we, my wife and I, there have been periods of time where we've been behind, and we've learned a lot of lessons. Dave Ramsey calls it stupid tax, you know. We've learned through mistakes of paying more money than we should have. But that's what you do. You live and learn and move on and don't make the same mistake again, right?
Absolutely. But, well, you hope you don't make the same mistake again, right?
Mm.
It's not always that it's in your control, right? That's the whole thing.
Yeah, an example. You know? I remember an example, and I think, you know, you kind of were walking me through this a little bit. We were behind in paint. We had a second on our house, and we're like most people. We, you know, kind of used our home as an ATM for a couple of years. And
that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, we basically took out a second, and then of course we fell behind in paying that, you know, our payments to that. And there came a point where they offered us like to pay 25% of what we owed. So I think.
25% on your payments? They lowered your actual interest or just lowered your payments?
Our balance. They said, hey, you owe 40 grand. We'll take 10.
Are you serious?
And so little did I know. They didn't tell me. But, of course, that $30,000, they sent us a 1099.
Right, you have to pay taxes on it. Right, taxable. But still, that's a good deal if they let you off that much.
Yeah, they did. And we're now making payments on that $30,000 to the IRS.
Oh my.
But that's okay because at least, you know, at least that's the second that's removed from the mortgage. So
Wow.
You know, and that's a
lesson. You know, you and Monica are so awesome because it's so wonderful to have a partner like that. You know, you two work together so beautifully, you know, and you work through the trials and tribulations, and I just think it's awesome. And that's just such that's why I think your marriage therapy workshops, I think, are such a God-given gift to people because they really need it. And you're living proof, you know, of how you can do that and work together. Because so many times when people have those issues, there's major fights, right, and
oh,
stuff.
My goodness.
So,
yeah.
And you guys really work through it, which is really awesome. I can't wait to the second half. I think teachers are so amazing, right? So amazing. And a good teacher makes such a difference. You know, when you have, like, a bad teacher. My son and his girlfriend were recently taken a college course and said that the professor wasn't too good, and they were really, and they both been through years of college, so they could, you know, honestly know if they're good or not. And they said they don't think that she wants to be there, and it was coming out and showing that she didn't, you know. And I think when you're to be great, teachers are so needed, right? They're so wonderful, and to hear that she's supporting them and teaching and training them and showing them how to survive is wonderful, which is kind of what we try to do with real estate agents and brokers, right? Through the thick and thin of it all, and it's a different, like with you, I've always said, gosh, it's nice if, you know, like people like really look up to doctors and ministers, but they don't look up to real estate agents and brokers. It's a different profession, so we really have to be.
But the way you do it with your soul selling, really, some people call it soul selling, but the idea of, yes, you're in a sales, you know, arena, culture, environment, but you are about adding value to people, and that's why you've been so successful over the years, is that people pick up, you know, when you, I've heard this, and Dave Ferguson, our buddy, our business coach guy, asked CoachDave.com that we had on a few weeks ago, he loves to say that you really don't sell whatever you're selling, you sell yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if people connect with you and realize, you know, that you are the real deal,
I think so too. I think so too. And our first half of the show today is, you know, are you behind in payments? And if you have a condo or you have an association fee, it's really, really important to not disregard your fees, because what some people may not be aware of, they can find out sometimes when it's too late, because they could get really behind in their fees, not have any way to work it out, not have any monies, and then still lose their home, thinking they were working everything out on their mortgages. So, I don't know if a lot of people, a lot of it that we talk about on the show is generalized, and you know, you want to find out more details or contact us for more details. When you own a property and there is a homeowners association or maintenance fees, typically, now this can vary state to state, and state to state the laws vary as far as what the penalties are, what they can do, when they can do it, how much they can do. But typically, if you're behind in your payments, the association can foreclose on your home. And a lot of people think, well, that's a secondary payment, I'm going to pay my mortgage payment first. So if you're behind in the payments, you definitely want to contact the mortgage company, and work something out. Because when people are going through, I've, you know, been in the industry over 27 years, and when people are going through really, really, really hard times, it's very easy to throw the mail in the trash, put their heads under the sand, you know, under the covers, whatever, and disregard it, because in comes depression, anger, all these other things. And so we just want to mention it, because, of course, a lot of our listeners listen to the archives, right, and it's part of our Realty Universal Network, that really don't ignore that, because when the fees are lower, you may be able to work out something, even paying them $50, $100 a month. Maybe they'll work with you. They won't hassle you. Who knows? But if you ignore it and they become huge, they're not as apt to work with you. And I know on the islands, the fees are high. Like, for example, on Oahu, it's not abnormal for the minimum fees to be $500 a month up to $1,000, $1,200, where you may have some states in the mainland, depends where you are, where the fees are only $100, $200 a month, you know? So, but, for example, on the islands of Hawaii, they end up foreclosing quite often. And what the association can do is foreclose on your property, then they start renting it out to somebody else and take the monies. If it actually goes to foreclosure, it was about $3,600 they could get. That went up to $7,200, and then I think now it's gone back down. But each state has a different amount that they can actually obtain for if your property goes to foreclosure. So it's just something to think about, because it's one of those things I think people might think is just an incidental bill, and we just, you know, it's just don't want you to not pay attention to it and put that on the back burner and then have it blow up in your face or blow up the whole deal later. So.
Well, yeah, and what you say is so, so true, and that goes for creditors across the board, but I know more and more increasingly with mortgage companies that you know, they're willing to, you know, to entertain and to work with you, and Yeah, you just gotta. You're right. Boy, that's such wise advice. Not to put your head, you know, down and just kind of give up, thinking maybe it'll go away. No, because it doesn't go away. And just because you haven't heard from somebody in a few weeks, you know, doesn't mean that the clock isn't ticking. And you know, you're much better off handling something while it's still manageable than this big monstrosity. And I guess people these days, I mean, more and more people, sadly, but are just walking away too, right? They're just saying, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm just done and walking away. And
we had a deal on us. Yeah, but you want to work with it, because some of the association fees, they'll work with you. They may take a reduced amount. When you're doing a short sale, they may be willing to take a lesser amount. They used to work with you a lot more in the years past than they are now. I know on the islands, I'm just referencing it, a lot of the attorneys actually told the associations, no, stand firm and get the monies. And I think that's because the attorneys want to make money. You know, so their fees go up, and they're guaranteed a lot of business. And I'm not knocking them, but, I mean, I really believe that's part of it because,
yep.
Like, what's going on? Why aren't you guys working with people and negotiating anymore? And, like, we don't have to, you know. And it's not that they're not negotiating at all. And then I guess the homeowners associations are saying, wait a minute, most of us are paying, a few people aren't paying, and now we're running the, you know, bearing the cost. But I think it's all a matter of everybody working together, so I don't agree with people. You know, I think they should work with you. But some of the associations will agree to maybe release the liens for a fee, which the mortgage companies may agree to in a short sale. And then they may still hold you, the owner, liable for a certain amount. Or if somebody's filing bankruptcy, that would be a different scenario. You know, but that's if they're moving on and doing a short sale. But a lot of people that are behind in their payments right now are trying to work out different situations with the government loans, right? There's a lot of different programs that are being offered that are actually, I'd say, better suited and more in line in the last couple of years than they were, you know, back in 2008 because there's been time to get the bugs out. Now, on the flip side of the coin, I get frustrated and say too many rules are changing and nobody knows what's going on half the time and it makes it harder. But you know, it's so it's just important. We always try to give food for thought here, right? And just things that we're assuming we know, but somebody else may go, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that. So for example, on the islands, I'm using that as an example. You know, these examples, we have a limited amount of time to talk today. But I had a case where I had a scenario where we had a short sale a few years back. I can't remember, maybe 4 or 5. It was a while back. And the association was going to foreclose, and we asked for 30 days to work it out to get the short sale done and approved and everything done. I mean, this was like so fast to get this done. They said, you'll never get it done in 30 days. And I said, yes, I will. Watch me. And, you know, we were – and they didn't think we would, and they went to foreclose, but it wasn't foreclosed on yet, and we still hadn't – we're getting things done. We got everything done in time. The resident manager at this, I won't name the name, but it's on Oahu, actually moved a tenant in, had no right to do this. They hadn't even legally foreclosed yet. And he just did, it was coming up soon, but he just didn't think I could get it done so fast, right? And it was really bad for them. I mean, I was shocked they did it. They could have been sued and been in a lot of hot water, but because we closed and the other agent's buyer was going into the property and somebody else was in the house with dogs and they hadn't moved in there, and it's like, what are you doing? So we said, you better work it out fast. That resident manager put them in another unit very fast and worked it all out. So those are those situations where it shouldn't have happened. He assumed and didn't think we could get it done, and we did. So a lot, many times, they're really looking at doing this ahead, you know, getting the property, believe it or not. You wouldn't think that they would want to do that, but it happens constantly.
Wow. You are listening to Realty Universal Radio, and again, our phone number is 347-945-5428. That's 347-945-5428. We'd love to hear from you. Some good news. I was looking at some of our statistics on our, you know, on our Blog Talk Radio back in there, and we're getting more and more live listeners. We had like
a lot of archives, though. Yeah.
Yeah, and then tons of archives. That keeps growing.
Yeah.
And we're so glad. You can always go to realtyuniversal.com. If you hear something here that interests you or want to get in contact, of course, with Natalie and the gang at realtyuniversal.com, that's the website to go to. Check it out, whether you're a buyer, seller, agent. And not only Sue Bridgman coming up in you know, in a few minutes, but in the near future, we've got some pretty heavyweight type people that I just stumbled into yesterday. I was booking.
Wow, what's going on?
Yeah, spending some time booking some folks, and there's just some people who are, let's just put it this way, they may be interested in, you know, real estate on, in Hawaii. Let's just put it that way.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, so that could be cool. I'm excited. It was one of those days, and you know how this goes, as I'm booking, you know, guests for the show, and other people who I hadn't even thought of respond to, say, my Facebook a post,
sure.
And all of a sudden we've got, man, we got some big hitters coming up. Dave Ferguson wants to be back on.
Excellent.
So
he's
an amazing guy. He's got his own show going on now, and he got hooked by being on your show. So he's excited. And
good.
How about we take a break?
I was just going to mention.
And return on the other side. Does that work?
Sounds good.
All right. We'll be back right after this.
Real estate is still a solid investment to invest in if you are in for the long haul. It can also be one of the best investments of your capital if handled correctly. In the United States, we are fortunate to have the tax write-offs that we take for granted while owning property. To obtain the best value for your real estate, there needs to be a market of both buyers and sellers, as well as a means of bringing the two together. Now more than ever, due to the recent loan crisis, even with bringing buyers and sellers together, there needs to be a way to make the financing work if a loan is needed. There are still many options available, and we can help. Whether you're a buyer, seller, going through a short sale, investing at the top or bottom, we have trained Realty Universal members in each state and affiliates who can customize your process the way it will work best for you. We do advise that you coordinate with your accountant and real estate attorney so your plan is intact. We have all learned through this economy that planning and averting pitfalls can make a world of difference in our futures. Ultimately, you have to rely on you after consulting with the experts. We set you up to win.
Hi, I'm Michael Hyatt, professional blogger and public speaker. I'm also the chairman of Thomas Nelson Publishers, a husband, a father, a grandfather, and a Sunday school teacher. I often get asked, how do you get it all done? Two words, life plan. Sadly, I've met very few people who have a plan for their life. Most are passive spectators, watching their lives unfold one day at a time. They may plan their careers, the building of a new home, or even a vacation, but it never occurs to them to plan their life. This is why so many people end up discouraged, disillusioned, and wondering what went wrong. The good news is that it doesn't have to be that way. You can live your life on purpose starting today by going to michaelhyatt.com/lifeplan. There's three reasons why you need a life plan. Number one, it will give you clarity about where your life is headed. Number two, it'll keep you in balance when things get crazy. Number three, it'll give you peace of mind knowing that you're addressing those aspects of your life that matter the most. Creating your personal life plan is not so much an ebook as it is a life planning experience. In the book, I'll take you through a visualization exercise that'll give you enormous clarity on what matters most. A five-step program for identifying where you are now and how to get from here to where you want to be. A weekly and quarterly process for keeping your life on plan and moving in the direction of your highest priorities. Two planning templates, a Word document, and a separate Excel document that will make it easier for you to create your plan and keep it up to date. You can't buy creating a personal life plan in a bookstore. You can't even buy it on the internet. There's only one way to get it, by subscribing to my free email newsletter. All you need to do is go to michaelhyatt.com/lifeplan and sign up for my free email updates. I'll then immediately email you the download link to this amazing free resource. Don't wait. You can start the life plan adventure today. Experience the power of living your life on purpose.
And we are back again, Realty Universal Radio, the name of this show, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. The call-in number, 347-945-5428. One more time, 347-945-5428. Coming up in, about 7 minutes or so, Sue Bridgman is going to be joining us. She just has a real heart for teachers and their personal growth. About helping them realize that they have to pour into themselves. They have to take time for themselves. I think, Natalie, and I know you're kind of this mentality in your real estate business of you really care about other people, and the danger in that sometimes is you spend so much time taking care of other people that you sometimes feel like maybe, you don't take care of yourself as much.
Well, I think that, you have to fill up that well, right? And it takes – women are very bad about that, especially in their 20s and 30s and maybe even part of their 40s. And as you start to get older, you start to realize, whoa. But I think men are probably better about doing that. What do you think, taking care of yourself better? Kind of.
Yeah, are you saying men are more selfish? Is that what –
Maybe they're smarter or something. Maybe they have it figured out at a younger age. I'll get this woman to do it for me. No, I'll just say, let them do it. Okay, no problem. Yeah,
if they'll do it, I think men will, let's not get into a psychology thing here, but this could go down a very strange path.
It's a
slippery slope, because I is one, but I think most men, in any relationship, certainly in a marriage relationship, they'll let you do whatever you, take on. And so, they take the path of least resistance.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Emotionally, and chores around the house, you name it. And you're right. I think women are by nature caretakers, and that can become – that's obviously a good thing, but the downside of it could be – that it's unhealthy for that, the individual. And so teachers need somebody like Sue Bridgman to say, hey, you guys, you need to take care of yourself, and here's some ways to do that. So
that's wonderful.
Real,
is she doing it like with an association? Is she doing it with trainings? I guess we'll get to hear in a few minutes.
Yeah, we'll find out. I'm not sure. She's been in education over 20 years.
Fantastic.
She's a certified dyslexia testing specialist.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, struggling with dyslexia to learn how to read, write, and spell, and she'll be very, very interesting, and it very much ties into, I think, again, your approach in your business, because I know, as we've talked about, it's about you caring deeply, really, about about your clients.
Life is really, we're all human beings, we're getting through life, and it just makes such a difference to be able to work on, it's such a mindset, right? And I think what you just said with her, I can't wait to hear how they do that with dyslexia testing, because so many people are having issues. And some people may have issues that they're not tested properly, nobody knows, and then they have a horrible time learning when they're young, right? So back on the real quick, just recap on the condos and associations. Just if you are behind or you're having trouble, don't just work with your mortgage company. Make sure you call your association right away and say, hey, I'm having trouble. Will you work with me? What can I do? What can we work out here? So you want to work with them just as much as when you're working with the mortgage company. So you want to do both.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's man, and again, like you say, you want to cross your T's and dot your I's on everything in a transaction, but especially in that scenario. That is for sure. I know, I'm in this situation where we've taken back our home that we actually had a tenant in for 5 years.
Oh, I remember, yeah.
And the good news is, again, she was literally never late in 5 years with rent. So that was a blessing. The challenge has been, as we've moved back in, there's lots and lots and lots of repairs. And again, we talk about this all the time, about being honest and ethical. And I'm literally taking, a couple of weeks to kind of go through and go, okay, what is legitimate repairs that can be deducted from, the deposit as a landlord, and what is just normal wear and tear? And you know, I think that, and I'm, you know, working through that right now, and I've pretty much got a good idea. You know, I think anything that's was going to be old anyway, you know, if you're replacing floors or I think even tile, maybe in a bathroom, unless there was damage done to it. I know you've been, obviously, how much have you been a landlord? Have you been a landlord and owned several properties?
Yeah, I have. I guess I did my first rental property in my 20s, but. Yeah, I have.
Really?
I have been on different rental properties. Yeah, and they do get. I mean, you have good ones and bad ones. I mean, it's situations and, but I found a lot of wear and tear and over the years, there's different things people can do. I mean, we could have an whole show on that to protect themselves when they're going to rent out their own properties to protect themselves more. But yeah, but I typically end up all the carpet has to be replaced. So many things have to be done and.
Yeah,
you know, it's,
some of it's normal wear and tear, and others, you know, if there's a broken window, broken door, stuff's broken that wasn't broken, that's one thing.
Right.
But I want to be honest, and I let her know I'm really having a couple of realtor friends and, you know, some experts, you know, come through and really, you know, kind of make the assessment in an honest way. And it's a challenge. I don't know that you need cash flow to be a landlord, really. You know, people say, oh, you can make a lot of money, you know, buying homes and, you know, renting them out. Yes, but you better also be able to fix the fridge, replace the oven, you know,
No, it's funny you say that. I just had a tenant call me yesterday and the hot water tank went up. And she said, my son took a shower and it was fine. And I'm telling you when it was warm. I said, well, can you also turn the breaker off and when is anything going on there? And she goes, okay, and then she says, well, there's a little bit of water on top of the water heater. And then I said, okay, well, can you flip the breaker off and on? I swear this happened yesterday. She says, comes back, and she's, is the top of it supposed to be smoking? I said, oh, my God, like, turn the breaker off right now. And if it keeps, we're going to have to call the fire department. Let me call one of the neighbors. And the neighbor wasn't right by there. So I called her back, and I said, is it smoke? She goes, no. True story, I swear to God. I mean, I'm like,
wow.
Oh, my goodness. Like, you know?
Wow.
So you're thinking, yeah. So there are lots of little things that come up with rental properties, Randy. But,
yeah.
No, you do, you know, it's not always, but I think it can be also good, too.
I think that could be, you're right, that could be a show in the near future. Because I think, you know, some people, you know, and you could share kind of the ins and outs of being a landlord. I mean, there is a beautiful thing. The concept is awesome that you're having somebody else, you know, buy your house for you in a sense. They're paying that mortgage.
Right.
So, the premise is awesome. But then, you know, boy, you do need some cash flow just to be ready to take care of stuff like that. And it is almost the bottom of the hour. And I'm looking at our board here, and I see that it looks like Sue Bridgman is with us. And let's, Natalie, let's go to the phone zone. Hi, Sue.
Okay.
Hi. How are you?
Welcome.
Thank you. How are you?
Welcome.
Great.
We're doing well.
Welcome. Looking forward to it.
You're calling in from Greeley, Colorado.
Greeley, Colorado, yes. And
nice.
Today was supposed to be around 60 degrees, but it's actually cold and cloudy, but there's no snow, so that's a good thing.
Oh, good for you. Good for you.
I can tell right now, Sue, that you've been in education because you have a great presentation. I can tell in the first, you know, 15, 20 seconds of an interview, somebody is good. So we're excited. We're excited to have you. Sue Bridgman is... we've been excited about talking to her. She's been an educator for over 20 years in the U.S. and Canada. She's a certified dyslexia testing specialist. Say that fast 5 times. working with children struggling with dyslexia to learn how to read, write, and spell. Left the classroom at the height of her career to teach teachers how to teach and be an educational coach. They always say, teach the teacher. And then she came across the John Maxwell call and became a certified John Maxwell teacher as well. And certified hypnotist. Interesting.
Yes.
That's a whole
show
we could do. But so you are again. You're passionate about helping teachers in the personal growth development area, right? That's really your passion.
Yeah, and I'm really just so excited and thrilled just to be able to, you know, share with you about something that really is near and dear to my heart, and that is, you know, one of my passions, of course, is the education, and, you know, really the importance of, you know, personal growth for teachers and administrators in our school system, and, you know, really to have that right frame of mind before stepping into the school building or classroom, and, you know, it's really about creating a positive culture of change.
Boy, you know, as you
how did you get into doing that? I mean, how did I don't mean to interrupt, but how did you get into doing? Are you doing like a network association? Or are you teaching them in workshops? Or sounds so interesting.
Yeah, through, you know, mastermind groups and seminars and workshops, and just really creating that awareness, you know, of that. And you know, I really got clarity. At the John Maxwell certification program, and. You know, John is such an amazing person, and, you know, the whole government of Guatemala wanted him to come in and train all 140,000 teachers, and he had asked, yeah, isn't that amazing?
Wow.
On leadership, and, you know, he had asked, you know, his team to go with him and do that, and, you know, God just kind of hit me over the head at that moment and just said, you know, you have a whole backyard full of teachers that need edification and encouragement. Right in your backyard. So, yeah.
That's fantastic. Wow.
Mm. Wow. Well, let's dive in. And I really, because, again, this is going to fly by, I know, with this topic. Why is it so important that there be a personal growth development plan available to teachers? Why is that important in your view?
Well, there's many reasons why I believe, you know, personal development is important and necessary. For teachers and administrators, and it really is a trickle-down effect. You know, an administrator who has the right frame of mind is going to make better and, you know, wiser decisions and choices that benefit the whole school. You know, there'll be less reacting to situations and more of a responding appropriately. But, you know, that in turn, you know, sets the example for teachers to do the same, which will trickle down to the kids and, you know, as a model of how to deal with problems and how to learn to be intentional about making good choices. And, you know, when teachers are in the right frame of mind, you know, they engage in positive thoughts, which, of course, leads to positive actions, which will lead to positive consequences. And, you know, the children are ultimately the benefactors of that. And, you know, I love the old adage, you know, a happy teacher is a happy classroom. And I always always like to add, you know, which equals more learning. And, you know,
exactly.
And of course, yeah, exactly. And, you know, of course, the reverse is true as well. You know, negative thoughts will result in negative actions, which result in negative consequences and a negative classroom. And you know as well as I do that our kids can't afford to be under that kind of influence or leadership. And
wow. Yeah. Sue, it's interesting because as you say that, too, I think about the fact that, seriously, if a teacher is, you know, and we use this term, but vibrating at a high frequency, right, is giving off this positive, safe, loving environment, kids, and I don't care how young they are, we all have our antennas, man, and they pick that stuff up, right? They're like, okay, this person really loves me. This person cares. Oh, by the way, I feel safe here.
Right.
But, boy, if a teacher has got issues going on maybe at home and for whatever reason isn't completely there, if you will, present in the classroom, the kids are the ones who lose, aren't they?
Yeah, and, you know, kids are very intuitive and they're very sensitive and they pick up on those things. And, you know, it's really interesting to note that, you know, a lot of schools require, you know, for teachers to teach character education to the kids because they see the value in it for the children in that positive, safe environment. And but the irony is that the educational system doesn't seem to see the importance of it for the educators, which is a shame. Yeah, and, you know, John, I just love John, but John Maxwell says that, you know, when a person stops learning, they stop leading.
It's true.
It is so true. And, you know, teachers are one of the greatest influencers our children have. And, you know, part of that, part of learning, you know, great leadership skills and raising the lid of our leadership is really to grow and to learn how to be a better you. And, you know, teachers do a great job on learning content and classroom management and, you know, how to engage the children, but they really need to take the time out of, you know, for them and invest in a personal growth development. And, it would really be even better if the system would provide that training for them, as ultimately the children, you know, really benefit from that.
Yeah, great teachers, like, worth all the weight in the world, huh? Just very,
yes.
Makes such a difference, because then children want to learn, and they, you know, instead of just stopping, because sometimes children have different issues as well, and they're not going to learn unless they have a good teacher. So
right.
That's good. So I guess what happens, like, you hear constantly about teacher burnout just because of the system, the schools, and too much is on them, maybe not enough support, or they're stuck under a certain outline, a certain structure. Tell us a little bit about what happens, because I imagine your courses and seminars really help with that.
Yeah, they really help to retain, you know, teachers. And, you know, prior to being a growth coach, as you had previously mentioned, I was an educator for over 20 years in both the U.S. and Canada. And, you know, I can tell you that, you know, we teachers really have a heart of gold. I mean, teachers truly, you know, want to change the world. And, you know, let's face it, you know, we don't go into teaching for the money, right? So, you know, so that is why, you know, so what is the why or the purpose that really drives us to go into teaching? And, you know, every teacher has their specific why, but, you know, for the most part, you go into teaching because you love children. And, you know, you want to make a difference, and you really care about helping, you know, to shape the future leaders of the country. And, you know, as teachers, we pour our hearts and our souls into our students. And, in fact, sometimes we even sacrifice our own needs and family obligations for other people's children, you know, day in and day out. But why do we do that? Because we know that we carry a huge responsibility. And I have to tell you a little story. My husband, who is the most wonderful man in the world, he is a store manager at a popular retail clothing store. And he said to me, he commented one night after me working literally from 7 a.m. to midnight, you know, that I was working too hard, and not to belittle what he does or those that, you know, are in the retail industry, but I just said to him that while he's working with clothing, I'm working with lives. And
wow.
What I say or do can make or break this child for life. You know,
right.
So we teachers really, you know, take our responsibility seriously. And, you know, for the most of us, it's, you know, more who we are than what we do. But there's a big problem. Do you want to hear the big problem?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's the big problem.
Yes, teacher.
Yes. According to the National Commission on Teaching and America's Future, about 50% of all new teachers quit by year 5.
Wow.
That many.
Yeah,
that's
that
amazing.
Many.
I didn't know. I would have assumed it had been like 15 years later or something. I didn't know.
Yeah, it's huge. And, you know, it really is a real concern and debate, actually, about how to retain these teachers. And, you know, gone are the days of teaching for 30-some years and, you know, passing the baton to the next generation of teachers. And, you know, although every school and district wants every student to have a top-notch teacher who is committed for the long haul, you know, there's evidence out there showing that this kind of professional commitment is not happening. And it won't happen unless we are really intentional about improving the working conditions for these, you know, valuable educators, and really to start to address the emotional and cognitive needs of the teachers. And there's a cost, too. I mean, it's costing taxpayers a lot of money because of this turnover. You know, studies show that the national teacher turnover rate costs school districts, approximately $7 billion annually. I mean, that's huge.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, that's a big amount. So, and I was reading this article from Huffington Post, and it was from August 2011, but it was talking about the top reasons, you know, why teachers leave. And three of those top, and just like you were mentioning at the beginning, but three of the top five are poor working conditions, low wages, and teacher burnout.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was flipping through on the internet and just reading an article about teacher burnout, and it was from the journal, the Transforming Education Through Technology website. But anyway, people would write in and kind of comment on the article, and it would blog, and obviously a lot of those were teachers. But one husband wrote, you know, in response to the article, a comment, and I'd like to share that if I could. It just broke
my
heart. Okay. So this is what he had written in. My wife is having the struggles as a teacher, and it has been really hard for her to entertain the thought of quitting when she grew up wanting to be a teacher. she could easily spend up to 12 hours in the classroom with no planning time and still only get by with the bare minimum. And for what? When you have kids that are constantly disruptive, even if only a few, the fruit of your labor does not show and you begin to doubt your abilities as a teacher. But the teachers need to come up with the improvement plan. It always comes back on the teachers. They are expected to be miracle workers and cannot make any excuses. Every few weeks, I find myself having to console my wife, who is in tears because she doubts her abilities and because she has no time for the joys of life. It'll be a shame when she quits because we'll be losing a great teacher. The system is set up to burn out the good teachers. Too much pressure, too many standards, changing standards, great responsibility, too little time, and the few disruptive students ruin it for the teacher. And, you know, that really just brought a tear to my eye because, and I'm sure there's teachers out there that are listening that can relate and resonate with this, but I remember those days, you know, crying at the side of my bed, and you really start to feel, you know, imprisoned by your job, and it really becomes a horrible feeling. You know, if it's okay if I just share another story that, another teacher wrote, you know, I work in a really hostile school environment. The way some of the students behave would remind you of a prison movie. The administration is so unsupportive, and sometimes it seems like they're trying to get us out, maybe to prove to their superiors that the school's failures are all the teacher's faults. No teacher in my school is content. Everyone is miserable. The building is like a dungeon. And like others said, the demands are immense. It's totally impossible to do this job well, to be a good parent, cook a good meal for your family, keep a clean house, and be happy when you get into bed at the end of the day. I am seriously considering seeing a doctor for this depression and stress that this job has caused me. Either that or finding a new job. Is teaching enjoyable anywhere? Is it just inner city public schools that are a disaster? Is it possible to find a job somewhere more, like an actual school? I hate it so much. I've only been in teaching for 5 years, and I'm ready to quit. At this point, I'd rather work behind a desk and answer phones. That's how bad I feel about it. And that fact makes me even more disappointed because I wanted to impact lives, help young people, make a difference, be important. But all I do is fight all day. I cannot keep doing this. And wow, you know, I have to read this one last one. It is really hard. A teacher wrote, God, please help me remember why I became a teacher in the first place because I'm just too tired to care anymore.
That makes sense. Wow.
Yeah. And
that's horrible.
Yeah. And, you know, that's go ahead.
Yeah. No, I'm listening.
I was just going to say that's part of, you know, what, you know, I want to do is really help teachers remember their why. And, you know, that's so important when they get to that place to go back and remember why it is that they got into teaching and fell in love with that profession. And, you know, we start off doing such a great job of pouring into our students our everything. And we're so full of energy and love, and we pour, but, you know, just like a gas pump giving us gas to pour into our tanks, you know, if no big truck came to refill the gas pumps, there would be no gas for our cars and our tanks would dry up and, you know, we get stuck where we're at. And, you know, likewise, you know, teachers and administrators need pouring into as well. And, you know, we need to have the right mindset and attitude to really disseminate in an authentic and genuine way to the children. Yes, all that we need to teach them. And, you know,
that's
amazing.
Yeah, and what you were just saying about I want to hear about the dyslexia, too, and how you do that. What's amazing what you said, though, is our environment's changed so much and the systems have changed, you know, to where, you know, I remember a woman telling me she was volunteering at her son's school years back, and another child through an airplane, you know, the paper airplanes?
Right.
Through the room, and she grabbed the child's arm to stop the plane, you know, stop anyone else from getting hurt because somebody could have had their eye poked out. And next thing you knew, the parents' children were suing her. And she was just a volunteer at the school. So I imagine that's just a separate issue that I imagine somehow with the kids coming in and being unruly when they shouldn't be. You know, in the old days, they didn't do that, right? But I think so that must be a whole nother issue that you have to deal with. That's really, it's wonderful for you to be doing what you're doing to be able to teach the teachers to not react and be able to handle it from the positive standpoint, right? And try to, but it's still got to be almost like the weight has to be so heavy unless you're, you know, where do you deal with it? In the school administration, the PTA, where do you, I mean, where does it start?
Right.
That's the thing.
Right,
yeah.
And unless you're really a self-motivated person and recognize that, you know, again, teachers are just getting drained. And, you know, they really need, you know, people to come aside them and pour into them and tell them how valuable they are and, you know, constantly, not just during that Teacher Appreciation Week where, you know, they get Starbucks cards, but on a,
exactly.
on a continual, you know, level. And, you know, it's interesting. One of my pastors at church coined this phrase, your root determines your fruit. And, you know, that really stuck with me because if we don't have that right frame of mind, we can't really connect with our students.
No.
And if we're not connecting, then we can't communicate effectively, and then little or no learning will penetrate into the students. And I think that, you know, that's why having a program like what I'm doing, which is the Empowerment Mentoring Program and the John Maxwell Program, really will help to create a culture of change.
That's fantastic. Yeah, that's wonderful. I do have a question because I'm really excited.
Sure.
We only have about 15 minutes. Our show goes by so fast. And then, oh, also, Randy, were we having contact information? I'm not sure. Do you have a, I don't know.
Absolutely.
If you discuss that ahead of time.
Absolutely. Yeah, they do. It's bridgingthegapscoaching.com.
Yes.
That's bridgingthegapscoaching.com, and you can contact Sue there.
Okay, bridgingthegapscoaching.com. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. I'm chomping at the bit. I'm chomping at the bit about this question just because of what you do. And how do you? No. I always, when I was real little, loved school. And then, of course, as you get older, you know, well, everybody has different things going on. And I didn't, you know, with family issues, et cetera. But so I never had problems reading or anything. But you hear so many people having dyslexia and not. And it not being picked up. So, for example, you may have somebody being told they're stupid by a family member, which they're not, and the poor child's getting not knowing what's going on, and neither are the parents. I mean, there's so many things going on. So can you tell us, I know we only have a little bit of time, but we have at least 15 minutes, so can you tell us, just for the, if somebody's listening, and of course most people are parents or have know somebody with children, et cetera, I don't, you know, what are the signs that you should have your child tested for dyslexia? Because the emotional, I mean, I'm sure it's very workable and many people have it, right? But if they don't know, it can really cause a lot of emotional trauma.
Yeah. In fact, dyslexia is the number one reason why bright children struggle with reading, writing, and spelling. And 20% is estimated, about 20% of the world has it. So, you know, it's not anything rare. You know, a lot of famous people have it. And, you know, everybody has 10% less brain on the right, but dyslexic people have equal hemispheres. So they're gifted in the right part of their brain. So this is where your people skills, people like presidents and actors have it, like Tom Cruise and George Bush and his dad, and architects, you know, spatially aware. Yeah, and engineers, you know, just artists and musicians and people, you know, who are gifted with athletics and so forth. But some of the signs that you can, and it is hereditary, so if it runs in the family tree, even if you weren't diagnosed with it, if you struggled in school, but some of the signs in preschool would be delayed speech. Mixing up the sounds and syllables and long words like biscotti and aminal, you know, constant confusion of left versus right, difficulty learning to tie shoes, you know, during that, you know, age three, four, five.
Wow, that's such a,
Trouble memorizing address, phone number, alphabet, not being able to create words that rhyme. And again, because it is hereditary, having a close relative that has it, but you know, it's going to show up more in the elementary years, and so some of the things might be. And, of course, this is, you know, it's such an umbrella term, not everybody has this, but or these signs. But if you have at least three and you know that it runs in the family, it's probably worth, you know, talking to somebody. But in the go ahead.
Okay. No, so they have trouble, do they have trouble spelling, et cetera?
Yeah.
I mean, that's
so
going to be an issue.
Yeah, so in the elementary school, you know, you'd have the dysgraphia, which is the non-automatic handwriting. The letter number reversals that continue past first grade, so that's a red flag if it continues past that. Slow, choppy, inaccurate reading, so, you know, guessing based on shape or context, or ignores suffixes, can't sound out or decode unknown words. Again, the terrible spelling, can't remembering sight words and homonyms, those are difficult. Having a hard time really telling time with a clock with hands, just because of the direction.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yes, and trouble with math, not necessarily on the concepts, but memorizing, you know, the multiplication tables and or memorizing a sequence of steps and directionality. And here's one.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, when speaking, just, you know, finding the correct word is kind of difficult. So you might say, you know, point to a refrigerator and say, you know, the whatchamacallit thingy over there, and, you know, not being able to get that word out.
Do they actually? No, it's kind of, it's interesting. I'm so glad they test for that nowadays, like they wouldn't have years ago. But do people, I've been told, because that they see the words, when say they're reading, seeing the words, that the words aren't clear, or they're seeing parts of the words. So it doesn't have anything to do with your eyesight, right? It's
Typically
in your brain. But the way, so what are they? Is it they're seeing it mixed up, and they can teach themselves to work through it, or how does that work?
Unfortunately, the school systems, a lot of them do not test for dyslexia, which is a real shame because, you know, one-fifth, you know, have it. But they do not, it is not a vision problem. That is a myth. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, kids might get confused on B's and D's or P's and Q's, and all that is really is a directionality issue. So that would be a left-right directionality issue, just not remembering which way the circle goes. And same way, you know, M's and W's, and that's just an up-down directionality issue.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah, and just not being able to hear all the sounds, all the phonemes in a word, you know, is difficult as well. So, but thank goodness there are, you know, there's testers out there, few and far between. And, you know, if anyone is interested, I know this is not what we were talking about, but I do have a website for that, and you're more than welcome to
go on.
Yeah, it's called dyslexiahelpforyou.com.
I'm sorry, dyslexia?
Helpforyou.com.
Helpforyou.com.
Yeah, all
okay.
Spelled out, yeah. So they can
That's
go on
fantastic.
And read about it, and I have lots of resources and links that, you know, they can go on and look at that.
You know, that's really funny you said that people with dyslexia use both sides of their brain. Is that's really interesting. That's really interesting.
They have more gifts on the right side of the brain. So,
okay.
Yeah. So just very, you know, people are intuitive and, you know, just gifted in, you know, the arts and music and athletics and spatial awareness.
If somebody has dyslexia, then can they still read books and read and read and read like they like to?
Yeah.
They learn how to do it? Okay.
Yeah, it's really a, you know, everybody is, you know, obviously an individual, and it shows up differently in everybody. And for some people it's mild, and for some people it's profound. For some people, they read just fine. They may have a great visual memory and read fine, but it shows up in their spelling and writing.
Okay.
For others, it, you know, shows up in their reading, spelling, and writing. So on my website, the Dyslexia Help for You, people can read through the myths, you know, because it's a myth to say, well, my child reads just fine. He doesn't have it. Because they may read fine, but it shows up in their spelling. And, again, they may have it mild or moderately, whereas someone else might have it severely or profoundly.
And so you can test adults just as you would test children. It doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. That's wonderful. I think what you're doing is just heaven. It's just wonderful. It's just really a God-given calling to do. And I'm so glad you've stuck through it and you're doing it, you know, and didn't ever give up.
Well, you know, what I love, Sue, is, you know, how, again, and there's this term convergence, I know, and you've been on this path all your life of, you know, coming to this point, and then guess what? You connect with, you know, the Maxwell team, and now you have a lot more tools in your toolbox, a lot more motivation and ammunition, support. I know we've got like about 4 minutes left. Could you just quickly talk about the empowerment mentoring and how the Maxwell programs are going to help you with the teachers?
Yeah, you bet. The empowerment mentoring and the John Maxwell programs are really programs that benefit everyone. And right from the lips of John Maxwell himself, you know, he has designed his programs to add value to others, to make a difference with people who want to make a difference doing something that will make a difference in the lives of others. And, you know, that really is at the heart of teaching, you know, to change lives generationally and making a difference. And, you know, the programs that dive deep into the strategies that really create real and lasting results. And there is a group of us in the John Maxwell team that really want to use these programs to help pour into our educators so that they can get their tanks filled up, you know, fresh every day,
right,
and be those agents of change in the classroom. And, you know, John says that everything rises and falls with leadership, and we want our leaders in the classrooms to be effectively helping shape the leaders of tomorrow, and that really starts with the educators working on themselves from the inside out.
Exactly. Makes sense.
So.
It's wonderful.
Wow.
This is
huge.
Very here. I can't wait to look at your website, too, and refer people to you because, we run into a lot of people and things come up, and it's just and it's wonderful. Yeah.
And you know, for the dyslexia part, I'll just tell you this. You know, there's a lot of parents that, you know, struggle trying to find help. So, yeah, feel free. They can go to my website, look at the resources, and there's plenty of books and resources there for them to get help. And, you know, I just appreciate you guys letting me talk today and really creating some awareness and taking the time for me to address it today. So thank you so much.
Mm. Thank you. It's been wonderful, too.
Yeah,
so, and,
absolutely.
Yeah, we still have a few more, four more minutes, something like that?
We got three. I just want to give the website one more time. Sue Bridgman,
sure.
And her website is bridgingthegapscoaching.com. That's bridgingthegapscoaching.com. And for educators or really parents or whoever, just check that out. And, again, Sue, I know we're Facebook friends, and I just get all fired up just following your all that's going on with you. And I love convergence. Natalie and I have talked about synchronicity, you know,
mm-hmm.
and all of that. And, you know, it just seems like for this moment in time, you know, you were created to really help solve this problem. I know people say, you know, I've heard it said that we're all put on this planet to solve a particular problem,
mm-hmm.
or at least be a part of that solution. And I know for Monica and I, we feel that strongly when we're, you know, teaching in the marriage enrichment arena, when we're sharing our story and, you know, how we were hopeless and, you know, God healed our marriage, but it wasn't without, you know, 10 years of a lot of work on our part. So, you know, we feel like for this, we were born when we share that. And I can hear it in your voice as you share, as you've shared this half hour,
your
passion.
I'm very passionate, like you said, about what I do. And for all the educators out there, anyone wanting some encouragement and edification, I do have a daily free motivational moment that they can sign up for at that website. So,
oh, fantastic.
Cool.
That's great.
Yeah. So,
thank you, Sue.
Thank you so much. Have a great day, you guys.
Awesome.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. It's been wonderful.
Wow.
Can't wait to look up.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
Good stuff.
That's really awesome. Awesome, awesome. She sounds like a fantastic teacher and just such a thrilled that she's doing what she's doing.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
so
my goodness.
So needed.
Sue, thank you.
Wouldn't it be great if she could get in and get the families to do it too, right? Get them involved, you know?
Yeah. Well, that would be the goal.
Yeah.
BridgingTheGapsCoaching.com. Her website, again, BridgingTheGapsCoaching.com. And Sue Bridgman is her name. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, Natalie, that is a wrap.
Fantastic. Wow, it's been a wrap. It goes by so fast, Randy.
It flies by.
So to everybody out there, of course, you can always go to radio@realityuniversal.com or send questions in to us if you have any questions.
Yes.
You can listen to the archives. We've given Sue's, her website is, she said two, right? She said one for dyslexiahelpforyou.com. And
mm-hmm.
also bridgingthegapscoaching.com. So
yep.
That's exciting. Yeah, and I will talk to you by next week. I hope you have
Aloha.
A wonderful, wonderful rest of your week. Please say hi to Monica for me. And
I will.
Everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.